Sebastian, Mark McClune.
Hey, Story. Happy opening day. Curious, just opening up on the road, are you more of a fan of that?
You know, if I lived in a perfect world and I had a choice, I would love to open up at home. And, you know, there's a general excitement. You want to share that with family and friends that are close to you. And in this situation, we aren't allowed to have that group with us. So, you know, I wish we would have opened up at home, but we're indifferent to it right now. We've known this day has been upon us for a while. This team is ready. We opened up here last year. So I know that the guys are excited, prepared. And once the game starts, everything's kind of settled and you've moved off of the assignment opening day, and you go out and start playing baseball.
Zach Buchanan.
Tori, perhaps the lineup has been posted and I just haven't seen it yet, but wanted to ask about Nick Ahmed.
Okay. Yeah, it has been posted, and he's feeling good. He is not in the starting lineup. You know, I've had a couple of discussions with him about what the best plans are to get him to play a full season. As I outlined to you guys, you know, if we sacrifice one or on the front end, it's gonna pay us dividends, and on the back end. So, you know, it was a very open and honest discussion both ways, and we both felt that this would be the best decision moving forward. You know, the medical team obviously weighed in on that, but Nick is a special human being. He takes care of himself as good as anybody I've ever been around, and we just felt like this was the best scenario for us. And his situation for the team to move past opening day and look towards tomorrow.
Ben Pecoro.
I did you just answer there that tomorrow is the day you're targeting then for Nick to be in the lineup?
Yeah, so what we talked about was just, you know, moving it day by day, keep pushing it back a day depending on how he feels. And you know, like I said, he had 9 at-bats yesterday. And it was just maybe with a quick turnaround in the day game, it was you know, what we talked about and decided would be the best solution. So we'll keep pushing it back 24 hours, and tomorrow's our target. And we'll have the same conversation post game and probably tomorrow morning at some point in time, and figure out what the best strategy is.
Steve Gilbert.
Hey Tori, looks like Riley Smith got that last spot in the bullpen. Could you just talk about what it was about him that you liked and what set him apart?
Yeah, we had a couple of different options that we were walking through. You know, with Taylor Widener being stretched out as a bullpen piece, we were looking at replaceable parts and a replaceable strategy. This is going to give our bullpen the best chance to ball games and fight for today and fight for tomorrow. So with Taylor transitioning into the starting rotation, we wanted that length, and Riley, well, you know, he did a great job for us last year. He executes the game plan, and he's going to give us the ability to have that length down there in the bullpen. And you know, for me right now, early in the year, you can't have enough of that. You just got to protect your guys until they get moving and get rolling in the starting rotation. So we wanted to be mindful of, you know, of what we were missing when Taylor stepped out, and we felt like it was a perfect replacement.
Tori, why did that decision go down to opening day? Was it just you guys were, you know, spent a lot of time kicking around different options and kind of, you know, decided today, or were there other kind of logistical things going on?
I don't think there was any reindeer games taking place. We didn't have to make a decision. We wanted to, you know, investigate every option, and make the best decision moving forward. You know, he was right there, in the middle of every conversation. As far as the roster construction and who's on and who's off, we just have conversations with the front office and they make the final decisions. I think that's been outlined here, and that's what happens here. That's how it should be. So I think the front office was just, you know, waiting it out, and we weren't in a hurry to make this decision, this final decision right now. But, you know, Riley was in the conversation for a long time.
I guess what I meant was I didn't know if, like, you couldn't put Gallen on the IL until today, which allows you to recall him, or I don't know if
I don't know those answers. I just know I think the earliest you can retro somebody is back to the 27th, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know what the date is. I don't know those answers, and it makes my life so much easier that I don't have to worry about it. There's some really talented people in the front office to take care of all those dates and retro, and when you can, when you can't. But I don't know that. I don't think it had much to do with that. We were looking for the best replacement possible.
David Brandt.
Hey, Torrey, I saw Stephen Vogt in the lineup. Just curious, is it going to be a situation where you're thinking about kind of having a personal catcher for Bumgarner? I know those guys know each other. Or was it just a matchup thing today?
Yeah, no, I feel very comfortable with either guy catching Bum, and I'm going to try to establish that mindset throughout the course of the year. You may see it match up well, and of course, I'm not going to be stubborn to certain thoughts and at certain times, if it's working, of course, I'll try to figure out the best way to make it happen. But we need to score some runs, and Stephen Vogt matches up very well against Yu Darvish. He's had some success against him, a little bit of damage, and it's not to say that Carson can't. I just felt like this day, at this moment, that Stephen Vogt was going to give us the best chance to score some runs and help us win a baseball game.
Tony Jackson.
Hey, Tori. Just a question about just this year compared to last year. I know last year when the season began, I'm sure you felt very confident you were going to have a great season. It didn't work out that way. Just your feeling, though, today, just with some fans in the stands and a 162 slate of games, I mean, can you contrast the feeling a year later?
Yeah, it's a totally different feeling from last year. We had tremendous expectations walking into the season, knowing it was going to only be 60 games. It was going to be a quick sprint. We love the way the team was formed. But as you know, the game doesn't always play out, or the season doesn't always play out the way you wanted it to. So I think the mindset might be rotation, might be rotated, where we got 162 to go out and prove and earn. And that, I like that. I like that mindset. I like the way our guys are ready to go. I like the way our guys trained hard and worked hard and trusted and accepted coaching. I think this team is very ready for today. There are so many other differences between last year and this year. You know, the protocols may be relaxed a little bit, but we know that we have to be extremely careful. And we're mindful of that. We're still wearing masks and in the dugout. We're just, you know, we need to respect this virus. And we will until we're all vaccinated. But this feels normal. Walking over from the hotel today, knowing that fans were going to be in the stands, I passed through the concourse on my walk. I saw the buzz with the group that's going to be working and setting up the concession stands. I saw, you know, people milling about the stadium getting ready. I'm sure they're part of the game day operations staff, and it feels extremely normal. Last year, it felt like an American Legion baseball game. I'm not going to lie. It was awkward at the start, and we got used to it, but this has a very normal feel to it when you walk into the stadium, and I think these guys are also feeling the same way.
Nick Picoro.
Tori, who's on your your taxi squad?
Taxi squad is Matt Peacock, Brian Holiday, Andrew Young, Joe Mantiply, and Jeremy Beasley.
Zach Cannon.
Tori, you kind of hit this just a second ago, but I wanted to ask you about the Nationals opening day game getting postponed just because of some COVID tests. Does that kind of reinforce that, you know, even as places keep opening up and, you know, life seems to be returning slowly to normal, that it's not normal yet, and you still have to be on guard.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we saw what happened to the Nationals yesterday. It was a quick reminder to us that we cannot let our guard down. And Major League Baseball has set up protocols that need to be followed, and we're going to follow those rules. And, you know, this virus can knock people down, and we know that it's cost a lot of lives. It's taken a lot of lives. So that in itself should kind of ring our bell a little bit, to make sure that we don't let our guard down. So we want to return to normal, and we are at a very critical time, in my opinion, for what's happening as we transition and continue to move forward. We know that we're at a different level and a different stage, and it can still go backwards, and we don't want that to happen.
Tori, do you think you guys will eventually get to that 85% vaccinated mark that allows, you know, the tier one, tier two guys to not have to be so rigid with the protocols and all that?
Yeah, I hope so. We've talked about it. The players are aware of it, and you know, we have to respect everybody's right to be vaccinated. The players are aware, and we want to get to that number, and hopefully we will one day soon.
Corey, on that point, there's a report that you guys have reached that level that's out there. Is that not quite accurate yet?
I don't think that's accurate. We're close, but I don't think that's accurate.
Paul Richardson.
Corey, back to opening day. Do you still get any type of jitters, feelings, nervousness? And then secondary, with the hitting last year, do the players feel any additional pressure this year to get out the gate fast because of the lack of scoring and hitting last year?
Yes, for sure. It's a great question. You know, our hitters, I think, have a little chip on their shoulder, and you know, especially the ones that probably didn't perform up to their own personal expectations. We know who they are, but I know that they've been working extremely hard to you know, right the wrongs and get things moving in a very positive direction. We needed our core group of players, our core group of offensive players, to go out and have the 5 years if we wanted to. I want them to embrace that challenge and remember that they are special, and they can do it. But about the preparation for me, and that's what it always comes down to. So we walk on that field today, we're going to be extremely prepared. And yes, I feel like we're going to have a very productive offensive year. As far as the opening day, to me, there's no day that's better. Except obviously the postseason. I know I've said this many, many times, we all can, no matter where we're sitting today, we can all go back and remember something special about an opening day that we all participated in. And it could go all the way back to T-ball. It just meant that there was so much hope and tremendous expectation. Everybody's having the same conversation inside of their clubhouse or inside of their dugout or inside of their homes at the dinner table. And, you know, I get that feeling in my stomach a lot, but this one is just a little bit deeper, and it's a good feeling. I've learned to embrace that feeling, but I know I'll be excited. I'm sure every player will be as well. And the fans too. I want to make sure that I mention something about the fans. You know, we miss them, and I'm sure we're going to welcome them back in layers. I can't wait to come home and play in front of our fans. They were unbelievable to us, and they will continue to be unbelievable to us. But through the separation, we knew they were there, and we were trying to connect to them in any way possible. Our group here with the Diamondbacks did a great job of trying to be creative and have ways to get us connected. But when we see each other face to face on the ninth, I know it's going to be a special day.
Jack Summers.
Hey, Tori, sorry, just to follow up on the discussion about Nick. I don't want to read between the lines. It did sound like there's a lot of convincing going on there to get him to accept a day-to-day status. Sounds like he's very anxious to get in the lineup. What is that accurate? I mean, is he kind of pushing to get in, and you guys are saying, "Hold on, we're not confident yet." Can you explain that a little bit better?
No. I feel like it's a great conversation. Nick, like I said, knows himself as good as any player I've ever been around. He knows how the body parts move. He understands how to take care of himself. So no, that's not the case at all. I just bring Nick into the conversation and get a little bit deeper with him because of what I know he's aware of, and we're able to have very detailed and deep level conversation that I appreciate. And I would never ever force Nick in or force Nick out. So when we talked about this, Nick said he could play if he had to, but it was the last game of the year he would play. But we know we have 161 ahead of us after today. So I think we came down to this decision together. Ultimately, I have the final say. And all the medical team in this situation will have the final say. But once it gets that clearance, I do. And I'm always willing to wait one more day if we have to. And Nick was aligned with that. So, no, Nick and I are all square on how we feel about this.
So if
everyone wants to stay, I'll have Chris to be out.
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you.
Yeah.